We had a puzzle last week, but some things to take care of before then?
Sure. Well, you know, as many people are aware, this is the year 2012.
I would hope that most of our listeners are aware
and
of that.
We've been asking, what is interesting about the year 2012? And Jeff Yoke, who is a longtime Math Factor correspondent, points out that perhaps 2012 is the least interesting year.
Really?
Wouldn't that be cool? Actually, I have to say, if it is truly an uninteresting year in history, that would be a real blessing for all of us, wouldn't it?
You know,
It seems like the trouble usually happens in the interesting years. But that raises an interesting, of course, he's really pointing out a paradox. If it were truly the least interesting year,
it'd be interesting because it was the least interesting.
That's right. So what's the least interesting number, folks? Well,
Is there a least interesting?
That's, of course, the paradox,
gotcha.
Right? But here's a couple of others. That reminds me of self-descriptive adjectives are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like short is a short adjective.
And we.
We.
W-E-E. We. That's a good one.
Polysyllabic.
Is.
Multisyllabic.
Right. But then the inverse of that.
Monosyllabic is not self-descriptive. Right. So that's pretty cool. Neither is long. Long is not a long adjective. Crunchy is not a crunchy. That doesn't even make sense.
Right.
It's like one of those bad Mad Libs. Awkwardnessful is a favorite.
Awkwardnessful? Is that a real word?
Well, I don't know. But Douglas Hofstadter, who wrote a lot about this stuff, fantastic author. That was one of his inventions, awkwardnessful. And of course, awkwardnessful is awkwardnessful.
Right. It's just tough to say.
So here's one, non-self-descriptive.
Okay.
Is that?
Oh, wait. Non-self-descriptive means that it isn't
would not describe itself.
Well, so, but therefore.
Right, exactly.
Okay, I see where you're going.
I don't know if we'll pick up on that again, but.
All right, last time we were together, you had kind of a puzzle for us that involved three professors and a student. And the professors were trying to catch up with a student.
Right. In the original incarnation of the problem, it's three spiders and a fly, but we were having a little fun.
Sure. And the grid that all of our actors are on, the three professors or predators, and the student or the potential prey.
Let's draw it out.
Okay. So if I have a square.
Draw a square.
Okay. There it is.
And now draw one diagonal diagonal from one corner to the other.
Right.
And now draw another diagonal, but the two diagonals don't really, I mean, they cross, but they kind of don't really meet, so to speak.
Right.
You can stay on one diagonal or the other, but you can't switch in the middle.
Gotcha. There's not a true intersection there.
That's right.
All right. So what we have is a square with more or less an X in the middle.
Right. And so now the three predators, so to speak, are running around that thing. And they're a little bit faster than the prey.
Right.
That's the only thing. And so the question is can the predators catch the prey?
Exactly. And so there is a design?
Sure. If the prey stays on the square.
That is the
outer border. Then it's clear that one of the predators could just chase it down eventually.
Well, you're
moving a little fast. No, it just goes around.
Oh,
Right? Just chases it. The prey can't elude. By the way, the prey knows exactly where the predators are, so it's not like it can.
You can lay in wait.
Right. But if it's running around the square, the predator just chases it down. So it has to go into the middle somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the other thing. So one spider's running around the outside.
Taking care of that.
And then one spider's on one diagonal, one spider's on the other.
Oh.
And then you just, a little bit of a timing issue to make sure. But see, if the thing goes up on a diagonal and comes back down, avoiding the spider on the diagonal, it just wastes time, so it's even easier to catch.
So eventually.
Yeah, so that's
all
there is.
Okay. Hey, guess what? I have a puzzle.
You do?
I do.
Wow, Kyle, 8 years on the air.
And yes.
Tables are turned.
Okay.
Lay it on me.
And this is this is not a hypothetical puzzle.
Oh, no.
This is.
Lives are at stake?
No. This is something that really happened.
Okay.
It involves baseball, but you don't have to know anything about baseball or statistics or even the rules.
Okay.
All right?
Are we answering it today or are we going to leave it as a puzzle?
I think we'll let mine.
Same routine. Okay.
Okay. So.
So I don't have to know.
No, you can
think about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you four or five facts.
Okay.
And you will have all the information you need to know.
Okay.
To come up with the answer.
All right. I got a pencil. Just.
From 1968 to 1976, there was an outfielder in Major League Baseball named Carlos May.
Mm-hmm.
His second year in the major leagues, he asked for uniform number 17 and received it.
Okay.
And thus, he became the only Major League Baseball player in history to have accomplished something. That's all you need to know.
Really?
Yep.
No way.
He was an outfielder.
Uh-huh.
I should tell you he played for Chicago. So let me put
I
that
need
in.
To know that, or they're just
it's a
messing
fact.
With me.
I'm okay. going to give you, let's say there are five facts.
Okay.
Carlos May played for 8 years. He was an outfielder. Most of the time he played for the Chicago White Sox. And he asked for uniform number 17 his second year and received it.
Wow.
There you go.
Now I know how you feel. I have no idea what the heck
and you don't
you're
have to know
about.
Anything. It's not. It has nothing to do with the most this or the fastest that. Everything is right there.
You got me stumped.
Okay. Well, we'll answer that. Now you've got a puzzle this week.
Too. I do. Well,
two puzzles for one show.
Wow. You know, I thought we'd revisit some old goodies, but I mean oldies, but very good puzzles. So I'm sure we did these on the radio before the podcast started, but that was even then, eight years ago.
Yes.
And this is actually the first puzzle that our great hero Martin Gardner ever published in Scientific American.
In case someone doesn't know who Martin Gardner was, he is seen as the grandfather of published mathematical puzzles.
Oh, yeah. Well,
of the modern age.
Of the modern age, right.
I mean, throwing out Copernicus or Newton or people
well,
like that.
Well, there's Sam Lloyd from about 100 odd years ago.
Well, I'm saying in the post-Lloyd period.
Okay. Okay, so he one of his very first column of mathematical games, which ended up running for a quarter century in Scientific American,
had very popular.
Very
column.
Popular, had nine puzzles, and I think I'll read the first of the nine. So
let's
this
do
technically
that. So
first.
This is technically the first Martin Gardner puzzle that was ever published in Scientific American.
That's right. Well, so you know, you've probably heard the puzzle about an explorer walks 1 mile south, he turns and walks 1 mile east, and then 1 mile north. He's on exactly the spot where he started somehow. Shoots a bear, what color is the bear? So there's some spot on the earth that you can walk 1 mile south, 1 mile east, 1 mile north, and end up exactly where you started. And so where's that? And then he shoots a bear there just to kind of, and what color is the bear? So really, if you know where he is, then you can.
Do you want me to answer this now?
Sure, yeah.
I'm assuming the bear is white.
It is.
Because he's at the top of the world.
That's
there.
Exactly right. So
it's a polar bear that he shot.
A polar bear.
Right.
So you come down from the North Pole.
Which is illegal, by the way.
Okay, but here's the thing. There's actually another spot on the Earth you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's infinitely many other spots that work.
So the question is, where can you walk 1 mile south, then 1 mile
east,
then 1 mile
north
and you're back where you started.
Right, and there may or may not be bears involved.
Okay, but where can you do that?
Right.
All right, so people can think about that. And about Carlos May?
Yeah, all of it.
All right.
MathFactor@york.edu, mathfactor.york.edu, and see you later.
Thanks, Haim.
Thank you.